What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free and catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I've been finding it interesting that I agree with, this is hard for me, it's really hard. I agree with something that Dan Crenshaw tweeted out. It's rare. It's rare, but you know, I guess it's when you're talking about Marjorie Three Names, it's really not hard to figure out. But there's, you know, the tweet off that goes on with when this stuff happens. And, you know, Marjorie Three Names has been, you know, kind of the Russian, you know, propagandist. She's been the one out there, you know, pushing the nonsense. And it's kind of frightening in a way that how far the Republicans have gone in defending. I mean, it's really. I never thought I would see it in my lifetime, just how far that the Republican Party has gone off the original path. But here to share some thoughts on just how crazy they have gotten and maybe talk a little bit about the tweet off. I've asked our good friend Sarah Burris to come talk with us. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com. She does incredible reporting there. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello.
So what do you make of?
I just got to show off the shirt.
Yeah, the shirt is amazing. And for those listening on radio, she has a shirt that says, "Even my cat knows Matt Gaetz should be in prison."
Which is hilarious because the cat was just like whining a second ago. I was like, "Oh God, please stop." But Marjorie Three Names, bless her heart, Trader Green.
Yeah, you know, you look at this and you know, I've been watching her tweets over the last couple of days. You know, we're spending money on Ukraine where we should be spending it on baby formula. But where's your bill to actually, you know, fund baby formula? Yeah. Oh, we're not going to do that. We're just going to point fingers and complain. But, you know, Crenshaw came out and said, hey, you know, basically shut up.
Yeah, seriously. And the thing that's really bothering me about the whole baby formula issue is there's a plant that actually is on hold right now because a big recall happened. Like there was some kind of bacteria that was in one of the formulas and two babies died. So, I mean, we have the formula. It just might kill some kids. So if they're cool with that, then turn the plant back online without any regulations and give that that bacteria stuff to the baby.
Well, ultimately, that's the world that they want us to be in, the deregulated state. But for me, the part of this that I took is this is the part, this is the reason that mass consolidation of industry is a bad idea. Had we a number of companies that made baby formula, okay, one of them screwed something up, one of them's got a problem, all the rest of them could have ramped up production. This, to me, is the reason why we start breaking up these conglomerates and these monopolies and go back to a competitive system.
Exactly. And a part of that, too, is that this company is, it supplies a certain area of the country. So there are parts of the country that are going to be more affected by this than the others. And there just are so few companies that actually make this stuff that I guess that's making things even worse. We could deploy the Defense Production Act and start ramping up that kind of thing. But does Congress want to have the government pay for that? Like, are they into that kind of thing? Because it seems like they didn't want to pay for a lot of stuff. So what do you do? Where's the bill, Marge?
This is where the party of family values. And in this moment, this is one of those moments where you go, okay, now's the time to put up or shut the blank up.
Yeah.
Where's the policy that's going to ensure that families can feed the children, the millions of children that you now want born? How are we going to feed them? How are we going to make sure that we have the production to feed them? And especially in this moment, where's your policy? Oh, that's right. We're just going to point at Joe Biden and go, he did this.
Yeah. But that's their thing. And I keep wondering if, if that's going to be their campaign for the next several months and into 2024, then you'd think we'd have this in a lock, because there's only so much pointing at Joe Biden is going to work. We've tried this. We've had this campaign with Donald Trump, and it ended up to, bite us in the behind, because there's only so much pointing at the other guy that you can do before people start asking about, okay, well, what's your solution? And if, you got to have the answers, that's the problem. And you've got Marge Green. And then, I just saw, our good friend Marsha Blackburn was, making the same kind of comment. And so I was just like, Marsha, get that formula that's killing kids back online.
Yeah.
We could be feeding a lot of babies with that.
No, but I look at Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she's out there, screaming about this and screaming about the money we're giving to Ukraine. And I agree with Crenshaw saying, is that, he said, still going after that slot on Russia Today, huh? And that's true. It seems like they're auditioning for their next job, as Putin's spokesperson.
Yeah. And what's crazy to me is, Tucker Carlson ended up in doing his whole show in Hungary, and he's done this whole Putin worship stuff. And so I just, with stuff like those people, you have to wonder, how much are they going to make off of this? Like, do they have their regular Fox News salary or OAN salary? And then maybe they're getting some scrub from under the table from the international guys. Like, what's really going on here? And I mean, maybe if Marge wants to leave and go work for Russia and do a show there, I say farewell.
I'll start the GoFundMe account to get her to go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But, the question then becomes, and look, I was a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s, at the end of the Cold War. I still remember the mutually assured destruction mentality. I still remember, the fear of nuclear winter. I still remember the Russians were the enemy. And especially, the Republican Party, Reagan took on the Ruskies and, all that kind of stuff. And to have the party of Reagan now being the party of the Kremlin just seems really weird to me, which is why I thought it was interesting that you had written a piece about Steve Schmidt's comments about, fights almost breaking out during the McCain campaign over, people within his campaign who were, had some interesting ties to Russia.
Yeah, the conversation with Steve Schmidt online, I think everybody was really paying attention to this fight back and forth that he was having with Meghan McCain. What has sort of flown under the radar of that is that Steve Schmidt has basically just taken the gloves off, where he's just like, okay, I'm telling everything now. And that goes into a really deep discussion about Rick Davis, who was one of McCain's top strategists, and his company that he had with Paul Manafort and the enormous contracts that they had in Eastern Europe. And this idea that John McCain actually kind of knew that his campaign was infiltrated by these guys, and he just sort of compartmentalized it. And I mean, it was several people, the way that Schmidt tells it, there's several people on the campaign who kept trying to talk to him about this, like, dude, you know, there are these Russian people. And it's, John McCain was never a pro-Russian guy, like, far from it. Very, very anti-Russia. And the way that Schmidt says it is, it's like he really genuinely thought that he needed people like Rick Davis and Paul Manafort to get him elected. And they just basically ended up swindling him.
Yeah.
By the end of December 2007, the campaign was completely bankrupt. And it was all because every dime that they spent through the campaign had to be funneled through Paul Manafort's company. And he said, you know, it goes back to Bob Dole in 96 and the Bushes, and like, there has always been this this nebulous lobbying firm that is working its way into each presidential campaign and trying to, you know, finagle their influence. And they're very heavily tied to Russia and Oleg Deripaska and those guys. So, you know.
And some of it openly, because look, you know, we courted the capitalists, because they're no longer communists. They're now capitalists, and we wanted to encourage that relationship. And I understand the argument that the right was making, because they're capitalists. They're like us. They're Wall Street types. No, they're not. They're not.
They were appointed. Like, the oligarchs are basically Putin's people that he installed in those CEO positions. You've got a guy who's running an oil and mineral company who has a degree in physical education. Like, come on, how did this dude get his job? Oh, he's BFFs with Putin, that's how. And now he's a billionaire, one of the richest people in the world.
I guess it's good to be in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah. But, I mean, you got to be careful, because the second you start hacking off Putin or, you know, funneling your money toward your next fancy yacht, you know, he's going to drop some poison in your underpants.
No, and I don't think people know exactly how much damage someone like Paul Manafort has done to this country and to the globe, actually, how much influence that guy alone has had in some of the dirty dealing and backroom underhanded stuff that he's done and been a part of. And you could put Bannon in that. You could put that whole little goofy cabal, you know, even to a small extent, Rudy Giuliani and his ties to the Mujahideen Khalkhin and all of those, all of those ties of international money that has enriched our political class of elites that now Republicans seem to be all in bed with.
And I would say that now we're getting into the relationships with the Saudis. And these are people who I think the White House came out this week and reinforced the idea that the 9/11 findings were that the majority of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, that's only 20 years too late.
Right? I mean, that was an actual piece of information from the 9/11 commission, and nobody, like, nothing. Why would we go to war with Iraq whenever it was the Saudis? Because we need them.
Yep.
And there's nobody who's understood that more than Donald Trump.
You listen to The Rick Smith Show here with Sarah Burris. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story. RawStory.com is the website. We'll get links out on social media where you can check out the incredible work that she does. And I see you've got a copy of the Mark Esper book, A Sacred Oath. And some of the fun stuff that's come out of that, and a lot of the other books. I think my favorite story so far of any of the books, and there's so many, is that Trump actually thought that China had a weather gun. That they could create hurricanes, which now makes sense that why he thought you could maybe nuke a hurricane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had their hurricane gun. Seemed like a bad episode of Despicable Me. But, you know, it's just one of these things where now Gru is president. But Esper is going down this other path of a whole bunch of other insanity where, you know, I guess Trump wanted to call soldiers into D.C. and Seattle and Portland, wanted Trump soldiers all over the country.
Yeah, and one of my favorite times, I guess this happened frequently, that Trump wanted to call in troops into Washington, to Seattle, to Portland, to a bunch of different places. My favorite one, though, was apparently Trump called and woke everybody up one night whenever about a dozen protesters toppled a statue in Washington. And he's just, I don't know if the phone is actually red, but there's the phone that's a secure line from the White House, and apparently it chirps a certain way or something. And so Esper's like describing this whole thing, and he's like, every time I hear it, you know, it freaks me out, and I'm like, crap, you know, I gotta wake up. And so he's just like half awake, fumbling around answering the phone, and Trump's just like, oh my God, they're tearing down the statues, they're coming for Lincoln and Washington next, like, oh my God, the hell has arrived here in Washington.
Scrabble the fighters.
They're living together. Yeah, it's just, it was insane. And so he's like, yes, sir, I'm right on it. I'll get right on it. And so he calls Miley, and Miley's like, and of course she's asleep too. And he's like, apparently there's like some riot in Washington with people toppling statues. And they both are turning their TVs on and flipping through the channels, and they can't find any story about it. And they're like, what the hell? So finally, Esper is like on the internet looking for what's actually happening. And it's like, you know, a dozen people after the statue topples, everybody disperses. Police arrested a couple people and it was over.
Yeah. But can you imagine? Can you imagine if there were video? You know, I want the video footage before he makes the call. Of him sitting there, you know, anxiously reaching for the phone. I shouldn't. Yes, I should. No, I want that moment of indecision. Should I pick it up or shouldn't I? I want to know what those moments leading up to that call were like.
See, I don't think he has that moment. I think he just thinks immediately, I'm the president. You cater to me, and just grabs the phone. But that of all of the things, there are a bunch of fits, just tons of fits that Trump has. Screaming at him about one thing or another. I guess he was really, when Esper made did the press conference where he made some comment about how, you know, it would be bad to use the Insurrection Act during all of the Black Lives Matter protests. Trump was furious about it. And the interesting part of it is that he was more furious about the fact that Esper did the press conference at a time during a hearing in the U.S. Senate where Lindsey Graham was supposed to ask some random dude a question about Russia that Trump thought would, you know, completely free him of all Russia scandal. So that's what it was really about. And so that kind of stuff, and just that everything that they did was couched through the lens of politics. And I think we know that.
Sure.
We understood that about Trump, but to see it from somebody who is very much on the government side of things, to then start to look at this like, oh my God, you're basically talking about how every single action the military takes through a lens of a campaign. And that's just not how things work.
And ratings. I mean, ultimately he was the TV president. He wanted ratings.
Yeah.
So you can't step on the money shot. You got to get that.
I
completely makes sense. Lastly, I wanted to get your thoughts on today. Top story of today. The fact that the Select Committee is subpoenaing House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Representative Scott Perry, my congressman, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Andy Biggs of Arizona, and Mo Brooks of Alabama. Curious, I guess they wanted to get Ronnie Jackson too at some point. That may happen. But thoughts on this? Any of them going to testify? Any of them going to comply?
Yeah. None of them are going to comply. But the thing is it's good for them either way. Like, Democrats have basically won this one way or the other. Republicans don't comply. They thumb their nose at it. And if they then take over in 2022 and decide that they're going to start calling people to Congress, all Democrats have to do is say, well, you know, Republicans set the precedent with not complying with the subpoenas. So, bummer. you know? And then the other piece of this too is, and I think we've talked about this before, is if you, if there is a subpoena and a congressional subpoena that you don't comply with, the Justice Department can use the fact that you didn't comply with that subpoena as part of the evidence that they explain to the grand jury. So whenever, you know, you if you refer this to the DOJ for criminal prosecution, then the DOJ can be like, oh, it's interesting too, because we, you know, Congress subpoenaed Andy Biggs and he refused to comply with Congress. So, you know, here's the evidence we have on him and his resistance to participate. So it just, it makes it very interesting. And I think there's no win for Republicans here.
Yeah. But, you know, but I look at someone like my Congressman Scott Perry, who I find, you know, wholly unacceptable. But, you know, he leaned into it and he's going to run on this. This is a badge of honor for him in this district. You know, this is an illegitimate body. You know, they leaked, you know, this stuff, the charade to the media. It's all about politics to him, and they're running the country into the ground. You know, he's used it to stoke the base, making himself the martyr and the victim. Yet he was one of the people who was instrumental in this attempt to overthrow our government. And it's not surprising to me, but, you know, he's playing to his base.
I think all people have to do is ask, what do you have to hide? Like, what is it that you're worried about? This shouldn't be that big of a deal. If you didn't do anything wrong, then it shouldn't be that big of a deal, right?
See, for me, if I was running this
Trump's
committee,
family.
If I was running the committee, I would have wanted all these people on the committee so that they're already in the room and I could have just turned to them and I said, well, what were you doing that day? They're already there.
See, I figure if you've got Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner and Don Jr. all showing up to talk to this committee and members of Congress can't show up, what were they doing?
Yeah.
You know, what is it that they're hiding?
That is an excellent point. Excellent point, which is why you're the reporter asking the important questions. Sarah, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Keep up the great work. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You as well, our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Quick break, right back after this. If you're just joining us, make sure you grab the podcast. Never miss a second, never miss an episode. Always there, always available. Share, subscribe, comment, like, all of that stuff. Quick break, right back after this.
It's easy to lose sleep when you're worried about your health insurance plan. But when you have a family counting on you to take care of them, having the right coverage is more important than ever. That's why Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield is here to help. With low to no cost plans for you and your family, so you never go it alone. That's our Anthem. Click to learn more.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.